everybody come and involve and do it. And that's what our lesson is about this morning. We'll be looking at Nehemiah 3 if you want to turn over there. We've entitled our lesson this morning, God Needs People Who Are Willing to Work. Last week we looked at God needing people of courage. And now, He needs people who are willing to work as well. We're going to look at that this morning. And we're going to try to move through it. So, fasten your seatbelt and hang on. We want to encourage, again, everyone to try to make the trip over to Quitman. It's not that far. Y'all go over to Meridian all the time, and it's about the same distance. Go back to Ryderwood, it's about 35 to 40 miles. So it's about the same distance. Y'all make that trip to Meridian about once a week, I know something. So, we can make that trip over there to Quitman to hear the gospel. But we want to encourage everyone that can to do so. And of course, we want to remember again that we will not be back here this evening. So hopefully everyone has gotten that message. If not, I will be around at 5 if somebody does show up for whatever person, offer them the Lord's Supper and sing a song with them. I preach this whole sermon to them tonight. But some of them got the message confused and thought we weren't having services this morning from the looks of So here we go. God needs people who are willing to work. What can you learn from a list? A list, we make lists for all sorts of things. We make grocery shopping lists, and we make a list of things to do. And a teacher might make a list of students, or all sorts of things that people make lists of. But what can we learn from a list? We're going to look at a particular list. Nehemiah chapter 3. The first 5 verses we're going to look at, this was the beginning of a list of workers. People who worked on rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. This is not the entire list, Mike. This is just the beginning. We're going to focus in on these 5 verses. Let's read that section. Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they built the chief gate. They sanctified it and set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Mia. They sanctified it unto the tower of Hananiel. And next unto him builded the men of Jericho. And next to them builded Zachor, the son of Imri. But the fish gate did the sons of Hesenah build, who also laid the beams thereof, and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. And next unto them repaired Mirmoth, the son of Urijah, the son of Kaz. And next unto them repaired Meshulam, the son of Berechiah, the son of Meshezabel. And next unto them repaired Zadok, the son of Bana. And next unto them the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles put not their necks to the work of the Lord. And it goes on through the rest of the chapter, listing. Here's the section these folks did, and these folks did this section, and these folks did this other section. And all the way around the whole city of Jerusalem, they rebuilt the wall. Of course, Nehemiah was sort of the overseer that was prodding them along, keeping the project going, and getting them encouraged about it. And Nehemiah also was the record keeper, as we see. He's describing these things. You know, this is the kind of material that when we're reading through the scriptures, we just skip that. They built that. We'll go on to the next chapter. And we skip this part. First of all, I can't pronounce all those names. And then secondly, I don't know what's going on in here. They're just saying that these folks built this. Big deal. So what? We usually skip over that kind of thing. The gap passages, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so in Genesis 5, and in Genesis 10, and then again in Matthew 1, and all these places. And in Ezekiel 36 through 39, when they list all the materials that were going into the tabernacle, and what all, they made this, long and this high, and I want to read all that more. What's the point? Almost the entire book of Leviticus is just a list of rules and regulations, and none of us like to read lists of rules and regulations. We like to pretend they don't exist. And so on and on. All these lists, we just want to with them, move on to the next thing. But this list of names and some of these other lists as well that we would get are important. We might not recognize the importance, but they are important. If they weren't important, God wouldn't have put them in the Bible. And this one in particular, Nehemiah found this extremely important. Nehemiah, in his entire book of 13 chapters, 4.5 of those chapters are lists. He was a pretty organized guy, I guess. He wanted to keep everything organized. But they're important things. Chapter 3 is this list of those who rebuilt the wall. Chapter 7 is a list of those who returned from Babylon with Zerubbabel. Chapter 10 is a list of those who signed the agreement to live by God's law. Chapter 11 is a list of those moving from the provinces to populate Jerusalem. All of these lists were important. The Holy Spirit thought so because He moved Nehemiah to write these lists down and protected these lists and included it and kept it to be a part of the Bible throughout the ages. So what can we learn from this list? We're only going to deal with the one in chapter 3 and only really a small section of it. But what is it that we can learn from this passage? And what is it that Nehemiah is emphasizing in this passage? Nehemiah 3 shows a willingness to work. It shows that these people that are in this list were people who were willing to work. First, let's pick up on one of the thoughts that is in here. God has always called His people into partnership with Himself. He doesn't do it by Himself. He wants us to be partners in His work. He wants us participating in the business of the kingdom. You remember what Jesus said in the temple? I must be about my Father's business. Well, we too must be about our Father's business. God will not do for us what He wants to do with us. That's the problem. I think sometimes we have the idea, well, God's going to bring the people that to Him that He wants. That's kind of a Calvinistic idea, that the Holy Spirit is just going to draw people to God. No, He wants us to work with Him through His Word, to teach others to draw them to Him. He's not going to go out there and do the work for us. He wants to do the work with us. Now, He's promised us if we'll go out and teach, His Word won't return void. He's promised us that. But He expects us to do our part and carry our share of the load. But on and on we could go. Certainly, God could have rebuilt this wall. I mean, He could have just, we talked this morning in class about the Valley of Dry Bones. God put these bones back together and made living people out of them. He could have rebuilt the wall. He could have just snapped His fingers, if He had fingers, and He could have spoken the word and said, walls be rebuilt, but walls are rebuilt. But that wasn't the way He wanted to do it. It wouldn't have served the purpose. He wanted the people to work and to appreciate what came from working. We need to join Him in His work. The real issue in our lives is not, does God have a job for me to do? The real question is, will I do the job that God has for me to do? Because He has a job for everyone. It's not a matter of whether He has a job for me or not. It's a matter of whether I will do that job or not. Am I going to obey Him? To each of us, God has issued an invitation to join Him in the vineyard, to go out into His field, to take up His yoke, to take up His cross. So all of those things sound a lot like work, don't they? So He didn't ask us to sit in the air conditioning. He asked us to go in the vineyard, go out in the field, take up a cross, take up a yoke. That's what oxen and cows have on their shoulders to pull, some sort of farming implement, some sort of farming tool. Well, here's the thing He said. Now the thing about that yoke is, all of those yokes, we're on one side and He's on the other. He's pulling with us. He's not going to ask us to pull by ourselves. He's going to be there with us. But that's just the point that Nehemiah is making here in chapter 3. The people heard the challenge. God had a mission for them to fulfill, to to go out and do. And they went out and they did it. Because that's what God wanted done. Are we going to answer the challenge today? God has a challenge for us. Preach the gospel to every creature. That's a challenge. That's a far greater challenge than rebuild the walls of the city. But are we going to answer the challenge? We can learn from their example that whatever the work is, it has to be done to please God. These people were willing to sweat, strain, and suffer to accomplish God's task. If there had been no lift here in Nehemiah 3, then there wouldn't have been a wall around the city of Jerusalem. The city would have been vulnerable to attack. But we see, because we see this list, we know they had a wall that was built and that these people worked. Imagine if Nehemiah had tried to build that wall by himself. Now that's what we have in the religious world with the pastor system. We've got, they hire one man to do the work. Can you imagine Nehemiah trying to build that wall by himself? Imagine one man trying to preach the gospel to the whole world, or trying to teach the whole world. One person can't do that alone. That's why Nehemiah has this list of people. He got all of these folks to work together to help him. He didn't build it all by himself. He never would have accomplished the task in his lifetime. That's why we have to work together. We have to be willing to work. But these people took their calling seriously, and they willingly girded their hands for the glory of God. Now as we move into the bulk of our lesson, we'll move quickly to it. Doing God's work takes the following things. First of all, it takes different types of people. Different types of people. These people, they weren't all masonry experts. Some of them probably never built a wall before in their lives, but they got together and they did it. They had all sorts of different backgrounds. Some had come from Palestine. Some had been born in Babylonia and moved back to Palestine. Some had been born there. Some had never experienced the captivity at all. Others had just come back from captivity. And they were different. They were very different. They lived in different cities. That's something. Here they are. They're working in Jerusalem to build the wall. And many of them did live in Jerusalem, but some of them came from other places. They were from Jericho, Tekoa, Gibeah, Mizpah, Zenoa, Beth-Hamacharet, Beth-Zur, Keilah. All of these cities are mentioned. These people came from their city to Jerusalem to help do the work. Just like we're going to Quitman today to help them, encourage them in their gospel meeting, because they're trying to spread the gospel over in their part of the world. Sometimes we need encouragement from each other and from other places. But here they were. They were from all sorts of places. They didn't say, well, I'm not ever going to live in Jerusalem. Why do I care if they have a wall? They said, they need a wall. And we're their brethren. We're going to go help them out. They came from different circumstances. They were from different trades. Some were priests. Some were goldsmiths. Some were perfumers and merchants and guards. All sorts of different people as we read all through the chapter. Had all sorts of different types of jobs that they had, that they were doing. They belonged to different families. Some were sons, some were daughters. They had men and women working together to build this wall. Families sometimes would take a section and the whole family would work together. Others, of course, may have been single people who worked on the wall. All sorts of different things. They belonged to different social classes. There were rich, there were poor. Some of them were so poor that they had sold their own children into slavery in order to have food to eat. For their children to have food to eat. But they went to work. Some were rulers, governors. Some were religious workers. And some had been physical labor. They had all sorts of different... Sounds a lot like the church today, doesn't it? We come from all sorts of backgrounds, all sorts of different circumstances. We have all sorts of different jobs, but we come together to do God's work. They managed to put their differences aside and get focused on the job that they had before them. They found enough common ground that they were able to work together and cooperate. They found that they were all the children of Abraham. Their future safety and prosperity depended on the security of Jerusalem. And God had commissioned them to do this task. So they put their hearts into it. that God wants us to find that common ground that we have. Instead of focusing on all those differences, we put those differences aside and say, okay, yeah, we're all different. Good. Now, we have a common goal. We have a common background in that we are the children of God. We're Christians. All of those other things are secondary. They don't. Now, we may be able to use some of those things in the work of the Lord to be able to further the cause. But we'll put those aside, those differences aside, to work on our common cause, our common goal. But then we see that doing God's work takes people who are willing to work. See, the word God's work defines that it is work. It is work. All of these people stand out in this list as being willing to do work. You don't read in here a great dissertation about how they had 57 supervisors and 37 assistant supervisors. In fact, you don't read anything about any supervisors. All these folks were working. They weren't supervising, they were working. Having agreed to cooperate, they took off their coats, rolled up their sleeves, and worked up a sweat. They got to work. They didn't just talk about it. They did. Notice, first of all, how eager these people were to work. Nehemiah 2:18 rather says, let us rise up and build. And then they set their hands to this good work. In Nehemiah 4:6 says, so we built the wall. The entire wall was joined together up to half its height. For the people had a mind to work. So they, at that point, they'd gotten it halfway as high as they needed. Because the people were willing to work. Think about that. These people weren't afraid to sweat and toil for the Lord. Now, wall building is not an easy job. It's a tough, tough task. And it was made harder by the fact that, you know, they didn't have a lot of the tools and implements that we would have today in building a wall. They couldn't have the truck loaded up with brick by a forklift and then driven to the site. They had to go and get the rock, get the brick. They had to mix up the mortar. Let's follow the path that they might have taken. First, make the long trip down into the valley. Remember now, when the wall, Jerusalem was on a hill. Now, when the walls of a city on a hill are knocked down, guess where they're going to go? Down to the bottom of the hill. So they knocked the walls down when they destroyed the city. And so here are all the walls scattered all down at the bottom of the hill. So the first thing they got to do is go down to the valley floor where most of the wall is lying in pieces and sort through the rubble and find stones that are large enough to be used again. And then you got to carry those or drag those or somehow get those from the bottom of the valley back up to the top of the hill. And then get some sand and some lime and some water to make some mortar. Mix that all up. Put it down. Now, remember, Jerusalem was not built on a river, so they had to either find a well to pull the water up, or else they had to travel with the water. And all of this wasn't easy stuff. You know, we just think, well, they built the wall up, you know, we build walls every day. But it wasn't as easy as all that. They had to work. And then, you put down your bed of mortar, pick up the stone, put it in place, and then start all over again. Go get another rock. That's going to take some time. That's going to take some effort. You can bet that these folks were worn out at the end. And then when you realize that not only did they have to deal with that work that they were doing, but there were enemies in the land that were mocking them and that were threatening even to attack them and to disrupt their work. And at one point, it said every man was working with his sword in one hand and working with the other. Can you imagine how slow that would go? How hard that would be. And they had somehow, they'd have one standing guard and another working it. It really cut down on the speed of the work in them. But these people worked with all their heart, not just on day one, but on day 51. They could be on, they kept working. Nowadays, we put a, you know, put a wall up in a couple of days. But now they had to work and work and work for months to get this wall built. Let's move on then. We see the letter B. They were willing to follow through and we're willing to follow through. You know, it's one thing to say, hey, let's rise up and build the wall. Yeah, that's a good idea. Great idea. Let's do it. That's one thing. But to actually do the work is a completely different picture. You know, everybody goes, oh, that's a great idea. That's a great idea. Yeah, let's do that. And then it comes time to do it. You have three folks show up. Where are all those folks that thought it was such a great idea? What happened to them? Well, it was a great idea, but actually doing it wasn't so great. They didn't like actually doing the work. I heard people say something, well, I'm just an idea man. I come up with the ideas, you do it. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. You come up with the idea, then you got to jump in there with both feet. You got to be involved in following through with it. So they were willing to follow through. Now you imagine a lot of these people may very easily have been tempted to give up after a while too. But this section, the heroes of this chapter aren't the bosses, they're not the overseers, it's the people that did the work. That's the ones that get named in the Bible. Like I said, we don't have a big list of people who were the overseers, who were the supervisors. Nehemiah didn't list them. Didn't put them in there. They don't get remembered in Scripture. But these men who worked did. This section of Scripture is governed by action verbs. Words like repaired and built and rebuilt and worked. Builded up the wall. Those action words, those are the ones. Not things like watched and stood and sat. No, it's not those kinds of words. In fact, in these 32 verses of chapter 3, some 47 times those kinds of action words show up. 47 times in 32 verses. That's more than once in every verse. It's amazing. And then we see that it's not the words or the intention that are valued. It's the laying of the beams, the setting of the doors, the putting the bars in place, the building of the wall. It's not the same doing that counts. And the same is true in the Lord's church today. We can say all we want to say, but what will we do? That's what's important. And then we see that some did even more than their share. There's always workers like that. There are some workers who you have to push and prod to get them to do the least little bit. And then there are others that will just go out there and do more and more and more. And they go and they go and they go. But some of these did more than their share. Some of these people who finished one section of the wall, evidently they came to Nehemiah and asked for another section to work on. Ask for more work. I don't have enough. I need to do some more. More work. Some of these are listed even. Malchiah in verse 11 and 31. Ezer in verse 19. Barak in verse 20. Mirmoth in verses 4 and 21. Benui, verses 18 and 24. The men of Tekoa, verses 5 and 27. Hananiah and Hanan, verses 8 and 30. And Meshulam, verses 4 and 30. Eight different groups here are named as repairing two sections of the wall. They didn't just quit when they got there done and say, okay, now I'll sit back and wait and see if everybody else does theirs. They went on and moved on to get another section. We can do that too. These people weren't afraid of work. They were convinced that this project was the will of God. They agreed that it should be done, and they gave the best of themselves in their efforts to finish the task. We need that kind of wholehearted willingness to labor and strain and dirty our hands to build God's kingdom today. And then third, we see that God's Word takes people who will sacrifice. Now you have to read between the lines a little bit here, but when we put things together, we're going to see some of the things that these people sacrificed. The things they were willing to suffer. If we look at this chapter in the context of the whole book, we'll see a few of these things. First of all, they had some material sacrifice. Remember we talked about how some of these people were so poor that they had to sell their own children? And yet some of these same people were working diligently on this wall. They probably had to neglect some of their other work that they could have and wanted to be doing in order to do that. We talked about that in class a little bit this morning. That your job versus God's work for you, which is more important. Oh, it was easy for Nehemiah to get excited about rebuilding the wall, but the king had sent him with a salary gave him money to live on, so he was okay. He didn't have to worry about it. But not everybody was in that state. They still had to feed their families. They still had businesses to run and homes to tend to. They still had taxes that had to be paid. Where were they going to take care of all of those things if they were devoting themselves to this wall? They had faith that God would provide if they were doing what He called them to do. Do we have that kind of faith today? Do we really believe that if we'll do what He calls on us to do, He will provide for us our needs? He's promised us He will. Seek ye first His kingdom, and all these things shall be added unto you. So they made some material sacrifices. Some of them in chapter 5 it tells how they made some incredible financial sacrifices to accomplish the work. They mortgaged their lands and their homes and all of these kinds of things. Some of them made some physical sacrifices. You know, this was a dangerous kind of work. It wasn't just easy stuff that they had to do here. There were dangers involved. You had enemies, you had wild animals, you had the possibility of a stone falling and injuring, all sorts of physical dangers. And they made some physical sacrifices. They made some ego sacrifices. Some of these people were people who may have disagreed with Nehemiah on a number of different issues, on a number of different things. One man was related to or closely associated with two of the enemies, Tobias and Sanballat. His daughter had married Sanballat. He was related to him by marriage, and yet he continued to work. One of the men was one who Ezra mentioned in the book of Ezra as being one of those who had taken a foreign wife, and he was commanded by Ezra to put her away because he didn't have a right to have her. And he put her away. Oh, he could have held the grudge and said, I'm not going to work with them. But instead, he was in there with the rest of them working. In fact, he was one of the ones that built two sections of wall. He didn't let those things build up. They didn't hold grudges. They overlooked those things. They put their ego aside in order to do the work. They put aside their pride to do the work. Well, what about it? All of that from just this list of names. Something, isn't it? Well, there is one notable exception to this. The notable exception is Nehemiah 3 and verse 5 there. We see the section repaired by the men of Tekoa, but notice what it says, but their nobles didn't put their necks to the work of the Lord. The leaders, the people that should have been out there in the front, were instead refusing to do the work. And it's the only group that's mentioned. Now the men of Tekoa built two sections of the wall, but the leaders, the nobles, didn't do a thing. What about it? What's the difference? If God wrote the history of this church, what would He write? If He made a list of all of the people who were here, and all of the things that all of those people did, and all of the things that those people didn't do, what would He write about you? What would He have to say? If there was a chapter, would you be like the men of Tekoa who built two sections of wall, or would you be like their nobles, their leaders, who wouldn't put their hearts or their minds or their hands to the work? What's better, to be a worker or a shirker? No doubt, it would be better to live in a grass hut and do the will of God than to live in a palace and be known as one who refused to do God's will. If you're here this morning, you have a need to respond to the invitation for any reason, we ask that you would do so as we stand.